gentlemen, it's 3 o'clock. At the very least, we're going to start this first hearing off on time. We'll call the FY15 budget hearing for the capital budget to order. Currently present are Councilpersons Kilpatrick, Sheldon, Collins, Cartier, Diller. I'm Councilman Smiley, co-chair of Finance. Before we begin, I just want to do a couple of housekeeping things. I have been officially informed that Councilman Weiner, Councilman Tackett, and Council President Bullock will not be able to attend today because of other circumstances. And I would like to place on the record now for members of Council, since we ran into some issues last budget cycle, the fact that any individual or group of members of Council have a right to propose adjustments, amendments to the proposed budget. They just need to be clear, look at the process. There are time constraints against for some of them, which is why we have the capital budget out front. So once again, any council member has a right to propose a change to the proposed budget. And it's on that, the burden falls on that council member or group thereof to have it processed and put forward to council. Councilman Bell is present. And with that, anyone speaking, please identify yourself for the record before you speak. Councilman Redd is with us, and let's go. Councilman Holland, what did I miss?
No, Mr. Chair, I appreciate the email that you sent to all of Council this morning. I did receive it. In addition to that, Councilor Council Doolin has placed in all Council members' mailbox the state code as it relates to the county's capital budget, explaining in greater detail what you just explained to all of us, and I'm hopeful that it will relieve us of some of the contentious behavior that occurred last year over Council's responsibility and our right to amend the capital budget.
Thank you very much, Bill. And Council to Council. Mr. Coop?
Thank you. Mike Coop, Chief Financial Officer. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Council members. I'm here today to present the recommended fiscal year 2015 through 2020 capital budget program. I'm going to give a brief overview of pages 1 through 5, and then we'll move on to the fiscal year 2015 capital budget requests on pages 6 through 7, at which time we'll open it up for discussion and questions with the various departmental subject matter experts that are here today to answer any questions. Before I get started, I do want to thank the budget office staff, Ed Nowicki, Mike Mackowitz, Patty Woods, Carla, as well as the departmental representatives for all their work in helping pull this budget together. So if we want to get started, we go to page 1, which represents our capital project activity from fiscal year 2009 through the estimated for this year, fiscal year 2014. These expenditures are all listed here by the program activity. Obviously, the largest is the sewer and stormwater. Then you see your parks, facilities, information systems, public safety, community services. If we go to page 2, shows our budget request activity by program for 2015 through 2020. As you see, our fiscal year 2015 budget is 59.6, and I have another schedule here I'm going to pass around. This is a schedule which also shows the budgets for the last 6 years. You see, fiscal year 2010 budget was considered a negative budget, $1.7 million. Actually, that budget would have been $56,985,000. It's just that back in fiscal year 2010, they were doing a lot of deauthorizations, trying to reduce project costs. Some of the projects that they were reducing back then was the Southern Sewer of $33 million. I just want to let you know that the 2010 budget actually was not a negative 1.7. That was just a net number. If we go to page 3. Page 3 shows the budget request activity 2015 through 2020. Listed down below with the various categories. And, of course, as usual, the majority of our budgets are funded anymore by county bonds. We get very little grant monies. We go to page 4. See the pie chart of how the breakup of the 2015 capital budget is. Obviously, the most is stormwater and sewer. In these numbers, the largest project we'll see later will be the Route 9 library, $12.7 million. There's public safety building in there for $3 million. Information systems, $3 million. If you go to page 5, we're going to start to see the projects. These are the projects, the major projects, obviously by the impact. And once we move to page 6 and page 7, I'll be ready to, we'll turn this over to any questions or discussions you want to have about the individual projects that are in. Okay, we go to page 6. We can start off with our sewer and stormwater projects, totaling $20 million. If we have any questions or...
Okay, I'll just ask this. As we move through this budget, anything that is a new project rather than something that we're ongoing with and working on, would you highlight that for us, please?
Certainly, that would be nice. Okay. Well, then, as we start with sewer, stormwater, I'll defer over here to Wayne. Wayne, could you have someone highlight here, go through the new, what is new in this list?
Wayne Merritt.
On page 6.
Acting General Manager of Special Services. A quick glance, and I stand subject to change. Everything there is in our current capital budget, some of those additions to it. And I'm not seeing anybody raise their hand, so what's the actual statement? On the sewer side.
You're talking about, yeah, okay. On the sewer side.
Would you like to take on facilities and equipment
sure,
next?
Sure.
Certainly, while you're on a roll here.
Okay. For the facilities and equipment, all of those are continuations of current programs.
What about the government center parking lot?
I'm sorry. Government center parking lot. If you've been to the government center and you've seen the condition of the parking lot, some parts are about ready to get to the point that we're going to have to go and actually go down and reestablish the base. We've got drainage issues, and I have Dave Clark shaking his head, nodding that that's so affirmative. But Dave, if you could speak to any specifics. I know we have some additional drainage issues there in our parking area.
Thank you, Wayne. I'm Dave Clark. I'm Chief of Project Management at Special Services. I walked the Government Center parking lot, and essentially it's a falling apart. There are areas where we're going to have to do excavation and open up the ground. As soon as you open up the ground, you're opening up unknowns. And so we've tried to develop a budget that would allow this to complete the work at the parking lot, but it appears as though we're going to have to do it in stages to make it work and have vehicles parking there and operational at the same time.
I guess I have a question. Didn't the county put the parking lot in?
Yes, we did. That was probably 20 years
ago. I don't know the answer. I wasn't here for that.
Because I'm just curious, if it's our property, if we put the parking lot in, why is it an unknown when we uncap it? Shouldn't we know what we covered up in the beginning?
You'd assume that to be the case.
No, I don't assume anything. Trust me. I only got 9 years in. I'm not assuming anything.
Okay. I don't know the answer to that, Councilman.
Let me defer to Jimmy Hedrick. Wayne Merritt again, Acting General Manager of Special Services. We bought that property back in 97, I believe, from then Wilmington Trust, and the parking lot was pretty much established at the time. We may have done some additions to it, and I'll defer to Jimmy Hedrick in Construction Support, who could speak to the any additions we did.
Jim Hedrick, Special Services. The parking lot directly around the building and on the Reed Wayside was there when we came, when we bought that place. So we don't know what's under there. We've done one parking lot there on the risk management side for permits for work comp persons. And the base was so-so. In some places it was nice and hard, others it was soft. The rest of the area that we did is now going on, I want to say, 16 years old. Blacktop life is usually 10 years if it's taken care of. And we never could get a program together to really go out and seal it and all that. But we know what's under most of it. I didn't share this with Dave. I'd be surprised. Of course, I wasn't asked. But it shouldn't be an issue there except for areas where it's been opened if the water infiltrated.
Councilman Cartier.
Yes, thank you. No question the Government Center parking lot is in need of replacement. My question goes to, I know that there is an area on the lower section where people are parking on dirt. Are we proposing to expand the amount of asphalted surface, or are we going to just, you know, remove and repave what's existing?
My evaluation was just remove and replace existing.
Okay.
And improve that.
Okay.
Okay, Wayne, next up is Parks.
Parks. The only new, real new program would be the Glasgow Regional Park Camouflage under that program, which we spoke to council about at our last Special Services Committee meeting.
And that would have been one of the ones that council asked about being broken out separate apart from the study?
Correct.
Okay.
$5 million.
Okay, one more.
Well, if that's it, we can move to page 7. No questions. Community services. We have two projects for community services here. We have the Showmobile and the Route 9 Community Library.
Councilman Cartier. Yes. I know years ago we did have a Showmobile. Maybe if you could just review for us exactly what that that vehicle does and the kind of activity it would support.
Pass that on here.
Sure.
Technical response.
Stuart Don, Executive Office. Looking at Showmobile, as we had some discussions about the pavilions that we're going to put in at Glasgow and into Carousel, whether we had some discussions whether it would really be effective. We felt that would be a venue that would be both useful in other parts of the county as well as to test out to see if it's worth pursuing it, pursuing anything like that. We figure it was a pretty much a value add test. And our plan is to, if we do get it, is after a year to establish what the operating costs are and year two and out to have a fixed rate for rentals if other organizations for community-based events wanted to rent it.
So it more or less would be sort of like a stage facility that,
yes,
that you can be taken and broken down and moved.
Like if they had Shakespeare up in Rockwood,
right, they
could use that as a stage, or if they had something in Carousel or any other county parks or parades.
Just one for Patrick.
Does that mean that the amphitheaters are not included?
They
in the
are in there,
budget?
But we are going to pull them out. They're going to be programmed out
in multiple
years.
Pardon?
If this is successful and it's the will of council, we want to program them out later years, but right now they're kind of off the table.
But the dollar amount is still in the budget?
I believe the dollar amount is still included, because this all just came up in like the last week and a half that we had some discussions with.
Do you have a dollar amount of what the two amphitheaters would cost?
So 1.2,
yeah, Jim, Steve Rubel, Special Services. At Carousel, the amphitheater with all soft costs included was going to be about $1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really the one that was much more comprehensively designed amphitheater.
Mm-hmm.
The amphitheater at Glasgow was going to be very small, and in fact, conceptually, it could have been as small as a concrete slab, or you know, maybe even something a little larger. I'm trying to see if we have a cost on that.
I thought it was $878,000.
I think that's about right, Jim.
I'm not 100% sure of the number, but that's what I'm
looking at.
And so, but do you anticipate keeping those numbers? And basically, we're talking 2.2. So you're.
I believe the county executive's talking about retiring those numbers out of cash.
In FY15.
Out of the program. I don't know what year they were programmed in. Maybe
that's the difference. That's part of the difference, Councilman, because it is, as they were talking about the program, Mike Coop, Finance, I know that Carousel, the 1.5, is for indoor ring and parking. Okay, it's not for the amphitheater. In this year's budget?
The overall project, it was included, but not maybe in this year's disbursement. Is that the answer to your question?
No. Do I look like that was the answer?
I don't know. We're
curious as to what year was tentatively scheduled for, because the amphitheaters were never discussed prior to our having our last meeting, so
I guess
we
I'm
hadn't
not,
seen them in prior capital budgets.
Yeah, I guess I'm not. Yeah, that's fine. I guess I'm just not getting program versus actual dollars for what?
The actual dollars this year are not in. The amphitheater was never considered for this year's capital expenditures, but it's in the whole realm of the project that was submitted. What, 4 or 3 months ago, Steve?
So that would have been the FY16. That would
4/17. Correct. 4/17.
Okay.
Yes. Steve Rubel again, Special Services. As an example, Carousel Park, the amphitheater was planned. You know, that 1.5 million for 2016 budget.
Okay. So what we're seeing in here for FY15 is like the improvement to the arena,
correct,
the stables.
Yes.
Nothing new, no new capital project, but renovations on what's existing within the park.
Correct.
Is that?
Mm-hmm. That is correct. If you go to page 55 in the book, has the out year program numbers.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, where were we? We're down going through park. Are we done parks?
We're telling us how the council would be able to use the showmobile if
okay,
we needed a camera crew on it when we went on the road.
Okay.
We can move to the next one.
We have the Route 9 Library.
Right. Did you want me to speak to a library?
Please.
Yes.
You have questions? Okay. Councilor Carrier.
Diana Brown, Department of Community Services. We've been working with several council people to begin planning for this project. We're very excited about it because the Route 9 corridor has been considered to be an underserved area for many years. We've gone to the state and submitted a FY15 bond bill request. So the project is really coming together. I'm not sure exactly where we are with the purchase of land, but we've identified some appropriate sites. We're looking into our fundraising. There's a Friends of the Library that's been created to work with us. And I think that the county executive has a real vision for this library beyond the types of traditional services that we've been providing, and more state-of-the-art services that are aligned with what's currently happening across the country. Especially with regard to, we've always talked about literacy, and we've talked about computer literacy, and now we're talking about financial literacy and the opportunity to bring young people in to learn about micro-businesses and handle technologies that they wouldn't normally come across in their everyday part of life. So there will be that core of traditional library, but we're really looking to design the building and build it as a mechanism of providing outreach.
Okay, we can move on to public safety. Since we only have a few projects there, we can touch on a few of them. Will we have the computer system?
Jeff Miller.
Jeff, could you touch on the computer system project for $100,000 and the 800 megahertz communications equipment for $1.5 million?
Yes, it's Jeff Miller from Newcastle County Emergency Communications Division. The computer system for $100,000 for fiscal 15 is to incorporate connectivity with our new world CAD system, and anything that would reside in the background network wise would be needed. for the CAD system that's being provided from the state E91 board. However, there will be a very minimal cost of an overall $4 to $6 million project statewide. We're going to have about $100,000 in 2015 with connectivity to make it work on our network. And the 800 megahertz project has been funded over a two-year process to replace all the portables that were over 20 years old for the police department, the EMS division, code enforcement, the sheriff's office. And we financed some of that out through Motorola interest-free. So we've taken delivery of all the portables, and then we'll bill us for that in fiscal 2015. And followed by that in fiscal 2016, we will go ahead and replace all the mobile units for all the public safety vehicles that need to be replaced, as all that equipment will see its end of life in 2017 and 2018.
Any questions? Good question. Next, we'll go to Emergency Medical Services. Larry Tan, touch on the EMS stations.
Thank you. Larry Tan, Chief of Emergency Medical Services. I mean, this is an ongoing project. At this point, we're in the design and engineering phase for the Southern Newcastle County Paramedic Station. The Office of Purchasing has issued an RFP, and 11 proposals are currently under review.
I'd like to ask, and I apologize for not being aware, we lost the property that we were going to use adjacent in partnering with Christiana. Is there a site?
Yes, we actually have a county facility in Odessa,
right.
near, and it actually has a facility that used to serve as a paramedic station. And the current plan is to actually relocate a group that's currently using that facility. We're going to demolish the facility and just construct it there as the proposal at this point.
Okay. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just feel obligated to comment a little bit on the hospital property because as inviting as it looked at the time, myself and Councilman Powers especially had participated in several meetings with public safety. We actually reached out to the hospital. They had their architect at that time come to a meeting, and we had numerous questions about the size of the bays, being able to clean vehicles, having an apron, where it was going to sit on the property, and quite frankly, we never got answers to those particular questions and concerns that we had. And it's my feeling that had we went forward with that station there under the plans that they had, we wouldn't have been in any better shape than we were at a Kirkwood Highway when we co-located the paramedic station, the library, because of the size of the bays and the vehicles right up against the bay doors and everything else. So it sounded good on surface. I went to the dedication of the ER down there, and while they mentioned the future paramedic station, afterwards I was informed that their contractor had actually left, and I said, well, whatever happened to getting back with us with some answers? And, well, that's kind of off the table now. Well, so
I knew the time had run out, and yep. I just didn't know what the future project were to place for us. So.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Thank you, sir.
Okay, we can move on to law enforcement, capital projects. Another Colonel Setting.
Yes, Chief Setting, County Police. What do you want to start with?
Crime fighting platform, $195,000.
Yeah, the crime fighting platform, there are several companies out there. Obviously, we have our eye on the one that we think would fit with what we're trying to do. This is basically in addition to the software and hardware that we currently have. What's different about it is where Omega Maps controls our maps and tells us, you know, where crime is occurring and where we can analyze data of things that have already happened and gone into the 911 CAD system. This is an actual predictive algorithm that will not only take into account every call that goes into 911 historically, but it'll also take into account the types of crime, when they occur. It takes into account where the folks that are on after prison suspension, so it takes into account many, many other things, and actually puts together a report as to where they believe the next problems or crime is going to occur and where in the county, right down to the day of the week. So it's an improvement on what we're already doing.
The police range, that's been the academy renovation, they've been on the books for a while, haven't they?
Yes, sir.
In the capital budgets.
Yes, sir. The police range is a unique situation. We're on federal property at the request of General Vavla. But the truth is the Federal Army Corps of Engineers has warned us that we are living down our days there. As a matter of fact, the EPA is down there today taking soil samples. We've been pumping lead into a dirt berm for the last 50 years. To say it's archaic would be an understatement.
My invitation was council's invitation was rescinded once I agreed to go, so I don't know.
I'd like to open that invitation back up right now, sir.
We have plenty of targets still going.
While the EPA's down there, right?
Well, sure. I can handle that.
Okay. Mr. Cooper.
Then we have the public safety building renovations, and as I understand from Wayne Merritt, who's going to speak to this next, he'll let you know about tomorrow.
Wayne Merritt, Acting General Manager of Special Services. We have a presentation ready for Council. Our Special Services is going to be the hearing tomorrow. We'd like to get the full presentation. That's when it's going to happen. Short of that, we'll answer any questions.
Will you have that in hard copy?
We'll have electronically in hard copy.
Okay, no, I'm not going to be able to make the meeting, but I would like to.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
That would help answer all the questions. The last project is the Public Safety Best Protection Program. That's part of the continuation of the Police Protection Package project for the upgrades to the vest for paramedics and police. After that, we move on to the administration projects, the information system projects.
Okay, which Dan, you want to speak to that?
We'll let the administration.
Sure. Daniel Sharkus, Executive Office. I guess I'll start with the larger one called large system replacements. That is basically for any large project that we have in place, whether it's TIER or Hanson or even our phone system. Basically, if there's an issue and we have to change TIER and go to public PeopleSoft or any large project that's in place now, that's what that fund is for. Just so in the unlikely event that something does happen, we'll be able to use that fund for whatever those services would be. But again, that's services that are already in place.
So this is $3,204,000 being earmarked for what may happen.
Well,
we don't really know, but it will be for upgrades or expansions to existing.
Exactly. We have a plan right now for a new VoIP system, which is the new phone system. So that money could be earmarked for that unless there's a situation that arises that needs attention first that could be Hanson or TIER.
I'm going to tell you up front, it concerns me just in that, I mean, I'm not the most technology literate or illiterate, but I tried to use the new parcel view, and if you do anything with the phone system like they did with that, I'm not even going to be able to make a phone call out of my office. So hopefully somebody takes some of us over the seat in mind when they make these changes. So, thank you. And the 410.
The 410 is the plan review. This is part of the land use package.
It's imaging systems. Basically, it's a new application, new platform for imaging system used for land use. It'll basically automate the process that land use has in place today.
And that's it for the 2015 capital budget. If we have any other questions for the other pages, there are summary pages.
You talked about the Hermitage.
The Hermitage. If you go back to page 6, probably, right? Did you go to page 6?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Page 6 lists the capital projects under parks, the Glasgow Regional Park Hermitage.
Yeah, I mean, it's $4.8 million. Now, that's not an existing, is it?
Director, special services.
That hasn't been on the capital before, has it?
Captain DeCristofaro, Special Services. It is new.
It's broken out
from the park project.
It's a little bit $4.8 million oversight. So if somebody help us understand, this is part of that evaluation that was done, and this is something new.
That's correct.
Is there anything else in there that's...
Is there anything else
that would fall... Rockwood, $2 million at Rockwood Park. Player improvements, I know, are there. The pavilion renovations, parkland acquisition. That's really only the big game changer that's in there, correct?
Right. The only new one.
And thus, why we put the capital budget early?
Can you go through understanding that? Can you just go through what is included in that 4.8?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Sure. This project, right now we've developed conceptual drawings to develop a multi-vendor farmers market at Glasgow Park. It would utilize as many of the existing structures that were part of the Hermitage that are possible, with the exception of structures that are in such poor shape that they need to be demolished.
Mm-hmm.
But the concept is to maintain the original flavor and character of the Hermitage and utilize that site to, again, develop a farmer's market. It would be done in phases. Whereby the 4.83 that you see for 2015 would be the first phase, which would develop enough of the farmer's market site to have indoor and outdoor farmer's market vendor sites, as well as parking facilities, a pavilion, handicap accessible pavilion for the public, and access from the existing park to the site. The successive phase or phases would simply be a completion of the total project, and I guess the maintenance phases is a separate project right now. So essentially the remaining phases would be just completing the farmer's market concept to develop additional outside and indoor farmers market facilities.
Is the demolition of the existing buildings included in this price?
Yes. I'm trying to think.
That I can agree with.
I'm trying to think if we're going to try and demo all of the buildings that need to be demoed in the first phase, but the majority of the buildings, at the very least, would be demolished in this first phase.
And then, can I ask?
Yeah.
When I go through this, it might not be considered capital, I guess, but you know, over the years we've talked about all of the other facilities that we own, and that, you know, basically it's demolition by neglect with some of these. We've talked about the curatorship, we've talked about all of that, and what needed to be put into all of these buildings dollar-wise to bring them up to some standard where they are preserved. Is that in this, any place in this bond, or is that someplace else that we're going to see later, like in a special services budget, or...
Queen Mary, Acting General Manager of Special Services. Those studies that we spoke to Council about at the last Special Services Committee meeting are underway or will be done in the future. These Hermitage, Rockwood, should come to mind quickly, are the ones that have been completed, and we still owe Council copies of theirs. But so there will be other ones. Tomorrow, also, one of the presentations happens to be on vacant buildings that we tried. In some cases, we've been reasonably successful in having people take advantage of it and take responsibility for those vacant properties. So we'll have that as the third presentation.
What was to be the lease program,
right,
with public safety people,
that's correct,
et cetera.
So okay. We'll have that.
So that, but none of those numbers are reflected in this in the bond?
There's other ones, no.
Okay.
With counsel's indulgence, I'd like to go to Mr. McDonald before he dislocates his right shoulder.
Steve has a very good presentation that we could probably send back out to counsel for the Glasgow Park. It has the overlays with the staging in it. I guess it was a couple months ago that you did that presentation.
Yeah, we'd be glad to send it.
Yeah, we did.
Include Tums and Prozac.
Right. I'm presuming that the presentation we saw a month ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, it's that.
That's correct.
Minus the amphitheater.
That's correct.
Right. Okay. Councilman Retta, and then Councilman Gill.
Thank you. It is with this farmer's market that you want to put in down there. Is this already taken into account how many people are going to come and be vendors there, or is it scaled back? Is there any talk on that yet?
One of the things, we tend to focus on the farmer's market itself, but one of the real important parts that I don't want to lose the focus on is that we would be preserving the structures themselves. There, you know, we spoke to community services reference developed some sort of a business plan in anticipation of a farmer's market, but I think there's another phrase that
micro business.
vendors that may be selling something other than fruit and vegetables and things of that nature, but that's part of a business plan approach. But the driving purpose on this obviously is to try to preserve those key buildings out there. And then the purpose long-term would be, obviously, to expand this micro-business farmer's market concept. So we owe council, or I guess community services, a business plan approach to that.
Yeah, I understand about preserving the buildings and all that. But at the same time, usually when a project's going to get built, I'm talking about a commercial project, they usually go out and try and get vendors of some sort, like restaurant people or store owners or whatever, before they build it and give them the concept of what they're going to do and try and get them on a contract to when they're going to build it and how they're going to do it and where there's and things of that nature. Do we have this all in plan? Do we to recognize this money that we're going to be spending?
I don't believe we'll be able to contract with the farmers.
Not the farmers, but I'm talking about you talking about small businesses and stuff.
No, I don't think that we have. I know we haven't for special services, and I'm pretty confident community services has not reached out and put a business plan together for that yet.
Okay. Well, the other part of this is, if these get built and they go in operation, what is our maintenance cost going to be? Do we have any idea on that?
We have not prepared those numbers yet, but the council asked for that, and we're in the process of gathering those numbers. It has to do with not just the operation, but does have to do with long-term maintenance for any structure.
Right. I mean, usually, like a business, when they have like a shopping center or mall or whatever, all that maintenance is built into their rent.
That's correct. It's
called county tax. Pardon me?
It's called county tax.
Yeah.
We from special services, we very much endorse the concept of building in, operating, and future maintenance costs for every building that we have currently, but more importantly, that we plan on building.
Yeah, well, we're talking a little different here now. We're not talking about a strict operation that the county is going to be doing. It's going to be basically an operation that's going to be a business-type operation.
That's
right. So all these numbers should be coming in.
Yep, yes, sir.
Councilman Diller.
Just one quick thing. As part of the
and
plan,
you are who, sir?
I'm sorry, Jim McDonald. Exactly. This was a phased build-out, correct? There was one shed row that would eventually could be converted to farmer's market stalls, but currently is going to be used for equipment storage until such time as if it does grow to meet the demand. That's correct. Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Councilwoman Diller and then Mr. Wasserbach.
I do think we need to see more detail on this. I mean, both as Councilman Retta has raised the issue of, you know, who's going to go here? I mean, we've asked for any kind of market work that you guys have done and haven't seen anything, so I'm still looking.
we are working with community services on it.
Mr. Wasserbach.
Yeah, Bob Wasserbach, County Auditor's Office. On Del Castle, is that a new project or an old project? The Del Castle parking renovation? And is that for the park, the golf course, the driver range, or is that just
the record?
Park.
Just the record.
Okay, so it's not for the golf course or the driver range. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Councilman Carrier.
Yeah, I just want to go back to the parking lot for the government center. So we're going to propose to repave all the existing parking lot. What about the associated drainage? Is that part of this? Are we going to look at the drainage basins, catch basins that are associated with this?
Wait, sir. Special Services.
Dave Clark with Special Services. Jim has advised me that there are drainage problems out there in one section of the parking lot. I have not seen them yet. When I visited the parking lot to evaluate it, it was a dry day.
Okay.
If I can see them and identify them, I will try to address them.
Does this also include potential new curbing on some of the
yes.
grass medians or whatever you call those things?
Yes.
Okay. Are we going to incur any... by touching this, eliminate some grandfathering about management of stormwater off of that surface, or does that go on at all yet?
It's a good question, and I don't know the answer to it. It would depend upon how much, if we are generating new runoff or new
okay.
quantities of runoff
okay.
in May.
That would be the trigger.
If I can make a case for it, we're only generating the same amount that we were several years
okay.
ago. We may not have to.
Wayne Merritt, Acting General Manager of Special Services. One of the major drainage problems we have is creates an operational problem for us every day that almost throughout the winter, whether we don't know if it's an underground spring or what it is, but we're out putting salt down anytime the temperature drops below freezing. So we know there's some drainage, underground drainage problems we have to deal with. Not sure what the ramifications of those until we get down there and find out what's going on.
Make a fountain.
Well, we can turn into a fountain.
There may be natural streams because when there's storms and none such creek, the level comes up a river, comes up none such creek, the rather archaic system, limited system that it is in DeRoss Heights, the river actually comes in and comes out the stormwater drains instead of water going down in. And you're in that same area. So that very well over the years has probably cut channels underneath and created underground streams under that area. Anything else? Councilman House.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question has to do with farmland preservation. I think last year we had $3 million for land acquisition, and about 3 weeks ago, I read where we had committed $3 million to purchase two farms, and I'm just wondering where we are since the state didn't uphold that particular proposal. And if we had $3 million there, where are we now, and where are we going to go going forward? I just see on page 52, funding for farmland preservation, but we just received these books this morning. I'm not so certain, but if I can engage some conversation around that. How much are we planning to spend? How much have we spent? How much do we have? And how much do we plan to add?
Councilman Bell?
They're all looking at me. Okay. But let me engage the topic. Not always what you read is what the fact is. As you know, we talked last year about $3 million being in a budget available to be committed to farmland preservation, and but that conversation evolved around partnerships. It evolved around the state government, both ag and environmental, and everything partnering with Newcastle County. And it goes beyond two farms. The current, review of one particular project is the entire Port Penn corridor next to the 1,000-acre marsh. It has and has had, continues to have, very environmentally sensitive issues of the 1,000-acre marsh, the wetlands. So there's definitely an interest on the part of the Department of Ag, on the part of DENREC and Open Space, and I believe the interest on the part of Newcastle County was that you know, we would partner in a farmland preservation program, but we certainly wouldn't be in a position where we're going to fund the total package. What's happened is Ag has committed money. The county has said that there is money available in farmland preservation. And I think that what's held this up now is that Open Space has not made any type of final commitment to put up their share of the funding. So I have not attended the meetings in Dover, but I've attended numerous meetings with DENREC, with the Department of Agriculture, and here in our own county, and you know, and talking about farmland preservation and where we might be able to go in the future. And I want to say something else is that recently, and I'm sure that Councilman Powers may have some comment on it, but we've also learned, we've been aware somewhat, but never really, I think, totally understood some of the federal programs that are available to farmland preservation, even to the county level. And so there's I don't think there's been any final commitment to anyone unless there is a partnership. And that partnership would involve both the county, the state, and like I say, Ag, Open Space. The comment that was in the paper that said that it appeared that there was this was a backdoor deal. There's no backdoor deal. This has been discussed. Farmland preservation has been discussed. I'm over 9 years on county council. We've discussed it since I've been on county council. And the other thing is we've had more meetings on farmland preservation over the past probably 3-4 years that date back not just to the to the Clark administration, but the Coons administration prior to that, and all the way back to when the Gord administration was in before. So I guess that maybe I can't give you a final answer, but what I can tell you, there's a very open dialogue between the county and the state from the Department of Agriculture standpoint, from DENREC, from Open Space. I know for a fact that one of the things that Open Space wanted was another appraisal. And they've requested for another appraisal on the farms, and I believe that's being done. And if I'm not mistaken, I think this may be about probably at least a third or fourth appraisal that's been done to take a look at various properties along the Port Penn corridor. The other thing is Ag actually met with all the farms along the Port Penn corridor and talked about farmland preservation, and I was present at that meeting. Talked about farmland preservation, and in order for it to really work, if the whole corridor was preserved in the future, that they were looking for all the farms along Port Penn corridor to sign on to it. So there's been a lot of communication, a lot of negotiation, and you know, I don't think that we're in a position today to say that it's there. It's not there yet, and I think we're waiting to see where Open Space. Ag has made a commitment, and I believe from the county standpoint that there's been a commitment to partner with the state and even with federal funds if they become available to do some farmland preservation. So, I mean, that's what I know of it. We've had numerous meetings, and like I say, they're open to anyone that would like to attend. And Bill might be able to enlighten us a little bit more about possibly some federal funds that may come available.
I want to clarify the record that Councilman Powers has joined us. I'm going to allow Councilman Holland to follow up, mm-hmm. and Councilwoman Kilpatrick's in there.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of history there, and there's a lot of uncertainties, and I don't need to suggest that everything I read in the paper was factual, but there were things that I read that I did not know, and today what I'm asking is just where are we with the budget, not knowing what the state or the ag mm-hmm. community may or may not do, but I need to know just how much money is in this budget for farmland preservation and what the intent is. And I don't think that was very clear last year. So I don't expect anyone to give me all of the answers to what people may or may not do, but there should be a number somewhere to suggest how much money is in this budget for farmland preservation. That's a number. It shouldn't be that difficult to identify.
Kathy, Christopher, our Special Services. It's under land acquisition. So
farmland preservation, land acquisition. The $3 million, I guess, that we did not spend last year, where is it? How much has been added to that?
It's under project land acquisition. There's $3 million available as of right now. For the FY15, we put in another $1.5 million.
So that'll be a total of $4.5 million.
Four bucks.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that was part of my original question, is whether that $3 million from last year just reverts back to the general fund, or if it's an accumulating, like if we don't spend it 1 year, do we continue to accumulate every year? So I'm understanding from Kathy that we accumulate every year. And I think we had part of this discussion last year in the fact that we are using public money for this. Places like Sussex County have stopped participating in this program because these are where you're purchasing development rights with public money and you are getting no public benefit. It's not a park. It's not something that people can actually use. Of course, understanding then you balance that with the non-development portion of it and, you know, where does that get us and how much is that all worth in the end? And when you look at the value of some of these farms for $4.5 million for only purchasing development rights, and it's under land acquisition, would we not be better looking at parkland? If, you know, I keep hearing from the two Southern Council people that they do not have parks down there. I mean, would we be better off looking for parkland for them where it's something that actually is an active benefit to the residents in that area? Because some of these areas, I'm hoping, would not be developable. And I would hate to see that we're buying development rights in areas that are so marshy and wet that they wouldn't be developed anyway.
Councilman Powers.
I don't know which is marshy and wet, but around the 1,000-acre marsh, it's not marshy and wet. It goes up probably 20 feet. If you're on the bayside, it might be marshy and wet. Anytime you want to ride down there, I'll show you. But it rolls and goes down to the marsh. If you know the 1,000-acre marsh, that's a man-made marsh. It's a freshwater marsh. The reason they did it years ago is muskrats grow bigger in freshwater than they do in brackish water. So that hundreds of years ago, they dammed it to make it a freshwater marsh. By doing that, when you go down Route 9, part of Route 9 is part of the dam for the 1,000-acre marsh. One thing with matches, and Bill was somewhat right just recently, there's been a lot of money added to the farm bill. The state, going with our match that we've done in the past, we really haven't gotten much of a match when it's 50%. It hasn't even been 50%. We've had to put up more money to get the state money, and a lot of that has been federal money too, so it's not even state money. Now, applying for federal funds is a minimum of 50% and could go up to 75%. Now that would have to be applied in after May into June to apply for it. Right now there's earmarked $4 million for Delaware. If we get in it, it could, next year the allocation could get up even higher once it gets going. It could go up to about $8 million. There's one thing about it, and I think Bill said, somebody said about two properties. If we go to start using some of the federal funds, we're going to need to have an idea, get more people on board, more farms on board that would qualify under their criteria. Their criteria, in one sense, a farm with marsh won't get as high of a score as a tillable farm. So
just using those two farms, they're more tillable. There's no marshlands to either one of them, so they really qualify for federal funds better than, say, a farm over in Odessa that has got 700 acres of marsh and 500 acres of cropland. So the score is almost reversed than what open space would do. But part of the thing that was being worked on with open space and ag land, and I was on open space council, I forget how many years ago, before I was on here, and at that time the state was owning 21% of the state between fish and wildlife, forestry, and parks. Even at that time they were saying it would be easier to make to do easements, because each one of those departments have never added any more people to maintain it. The major thing that you have when you have it preserved is that, yes, it seems high, but we've spent a lot more money on White Clay Creek for properties than preserved properties, but it is there and it's not being built on. So I know, it's also comes down to, most likely we're going to either put up $3 million for that or put up $1.5 million to run sewer there. So once we run sewer there and run it by all the rest, you might as well develop the whole thing, which will happen. So I don't know what the site, I know this administration is willing to try to preserve it. I think it just needs to be looked at for what it is. But it is beyond just those two properties. If we could get some of the federal money and then get some state money, it would, there is quite a bit of federal money there over the next 5 years in the farm bill.
Anything further on the capital budget? Councilman Bell.
Mr. Chairman, just a quick question from the finance department is that, typically, if I understand right, that our capital programs and projects are funded through bond money?
For the majority.
Okay. And when that bond money is borrowed to turn around and take a look to support the various projects, if we were to say that in our deliberations that maybe a project or two that we really didn't feel that we were ready to move forward to, or we felt that funding may better be utilized to support something else, can that bond money be utilized to support any type of operations, to sustain any type of operations that might be critical to life safety?
Do you talk in operations from an operating perspective? If we're talking an operating budget, the answer would be no. First off, when we go to the bond market for our capital projects, we don't really do it like the state does when they do their bond bill. We really operate out of a capital cash pool. And when we go to the bond market, we issue the bonds based on the capital projects that we have bond authorizations for, any project that's authorized here. If we choose not to do a project that maybe we're planning on, those funds would go to another project that there's bonds authorized for, but only strictly for another project. No money could ever go to operations. If you didn't use the money, where it would end up is, worst case would be to go back to for the repayment of the debt service, but never for operations.
Well, to be quite frank with you, and I'll put it right up front in our first budget review or meeting here, is that we have our volunteer fire rescue and emergency medical services coming in at the next public safety meeting to present their difficulty in sustaining, especially emergency medical services in the future. And so I'm trying to research every possible avenue that we can take a look at that we might be able to enhance their grant and aid to better enable the 21 fire departments to continue operating and sustain critical life safety services. So that's why I asked.
Good question, but it wouldn't work.
Yeah. Okay, and that's fine, but if I don't ask, I don't know.
Oh, certainly not.
And it won't be the last question I ask reference that topic. We've got to do better in what we're doing, and that's what I'm trying to do. So, okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Bell, along those lines, even though anybody in the room can tell me if I'm wrong, one of the points of anxiety with this council is along the lines of what Councilman Bell's saying, if we decided there was a project, if council felt that there was a project that needed to be done greater than another project in the capital budget that came up, could that bond money be used for that project? The answer would be yes, but only with the approval of the administration and council, because once we approve this council budget, that's the project the funds are earmarked towards.
The authorizations are, you know, there's projects out there right now that are operating out of the current cash pool bond, that one of those projects could be slowed down. One of these projects could take its place. And those funds, since there are authorizations here, it would be legal to that's how it goes.
The point I'm trying to make is, when we approve the capital budget program, we're approving the funding for those projects.
Yes.
Council does not have the independent right to say, okay, we now have this new project Z that we want to do in place of one of the projects we've already approved in the budget. We've given the authority to spend funds on this. It would have to be a mutual agreement between council and the administration in order to replace one of those with a new project. So I just want to be clear, because that's one of the anxieties that I know I have on council. That is for me.
You could almost say that if you went to the parks and looked at the multi-purpose athletic fields, it's kind of similar to what we're doing there. We're replacing, we're pulling that project out because there's never been an interest in that project. So you're technically replacing with another project here.
But you're doing it during the budget process.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point. Once the budget is approved, it's those projects are there and the funding's are there. That's my point. There have been council members, and I was one of them, where suddenly I hear about something going on, and I call and say, well, wait a minute, I remember seeing this. Where's the funding coming for this? Oh, well, here's what it is. It's in the budget. You already approved it. Nothing new about that, because it was part of this. So I'm not arguing. I'm just making sure everyone understands that if we approve a capital budget that says 4.8 for the Hermitage, we're saying you can spend $4.8 on the Hermitage.
Yes, sir.
Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Councilman Hollins and Councilman Carter.
I'm just trying to follow your question here.
More of a statement.
If there's 4.8 for the Hermitage and we approve it, and you want to transfer some of that money to another project, as long as that project is within the capital program, you can do that.
Yeah.
But I don't think that we can dream up a project that's not a part of the approved capital program.
And that's what I was trying to make clear.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
We're on it.
All right. Thank you.
We should always remember, like to finance, is that when we talk about transferring the money, sometimes we're talking about transferring authorization, the bond authorization, and that can only be transferred. That can only be done through council. Transferring the money out of the pool, in the pool, that is all based on what's approved.
Councilor Cartier.
Yes. I'm going to kind of go to a much larger 10,000-foot view about the capital budget of the county. So it looks like, according to the book here, we're on our way to spending $47.3 million for this fiscal year estimated, and the request for the following year is $59.6 million, and which is a significant bump up. We got low interest rates. Might be a real good time to really get into doing some investments. In fact, that's sort of what is the standard logic, financial logic about these times we're in. But my larger question is, how are we doing in terms of our debt limit as a county government? What is the debt limit that we operate under in our county or state code? And are we in good shape? We're approaching, I think I recall, there was a debt limit on sewer.
Our sewer old debt limit is, actually we don't have all sewer. We have an administrative policy that we set on sewer.
Okay.
It is 20%.
20% of?
20% of sewer debt. Versus our operating budget, what percent of the budget?
Okay.
Now, for the overall county's debt position,
right,
that's subject to the debt margin, is $168 billion.
Right.
And we are currently at 0.9%. We are allowed up to 3% of assessment.
Okay.
So we are well below.
So we're running about 1%.
Close
where we're allowed to go up to 3% of the assessed value of real estate in the county?
Yes. Something we have never, ever been close to doing.
Okay.
And part of what we got into in the past, if I can elaborate, in the last few budgets, is when we've gotten close to the debt to revenue ratio, and we've been called to task on it. We got there because we reduced the size of county government while our debt was there and we were paying it down. But because we reduced the size of county government and the cost, the ceiling got closer. So it wasn't that we were going out spending a lot more. We were reducing our costs, and when we did that, it kind of gave us a skewed view of where we were. It was actually positive for what we were doing. But some people tried to twist it.
I just want to continue that.
Yeah, right.
Page 10 or 11.
All right. And
your actual capital program.
Okay. So our outstanding amount of a debt is about $168
million. It's actually $161.
I'll study this. So
the actual subject to the debt margin is the $168.
Okay. And I know that. With the fall in municipal bond rates, we've gone aggressively as much as we can to refi some of our debt obligations to take advantage of the low interest rate environment. So that's realized some savings in interest payments
there. We just did one, 2013.
Okay.
Summer. If you go to page 12, you'll see the outstanding debt as a percentage of the operating budget. And when you look at, this, you'll see the budget year 2016, which will be the upcoming budget year, is where the actual debt service has been, starts its decline. So it's the opportune time for us to be looking for this upcoming year for our new capital project. We go into the bond market so that our debt service, when we fill in the year 2016, will not have as much impact to the budget. It's on page 12.
Yep.
That's it right there.
Okay. That's good.
And I'm going without color. Excuse me for a second, but I'm going to go into your area because I'm sure we're about due for another newspaper article. Where are we with, is the funding in here for the Governor Prince?
For the Governor Prince project?
What? Where are we? Is that to be ground to be reopened again? Or?
Yeah, we'll have to pass that over to Special Services.
Because I don't see it.
It's John Husband, Special Services. Money has already been budgeted for the Governor Prince Boulevard. So the money is there.
It's the same as the farm.
For, I mean, we don't know the path forward, right?
Yeah, we do know the path forward.
I mean, we opened up, we closed up.
Correct. And we're obviously, you are aware that we're in litigation with that. And
I knew we were. I hadn't. More
that the Governor Prince project is part of the overall Northern Delaware Interceptor project, which has money in it so that we can complete what we need to complete to meet the Secretary's order.
So in short, are we on hold subject to the conclusion of litigation? Would that be fair?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Anything further from any members of council? Councilman Moretta. Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Mike?
Yes.
On the back page of 25, you got on here, you got
projects for Sunset?
Yeah, you got the Kirkwood Library. Now that says complete?
Yes.
All right, now that's complete for the debt ceiling on that we had to pay?
No.
That's what I want to know. How is that? How's that complete? Is that just the project's complete?
The project, yes. The capital project, that you, the original capital project authorized back in 2004.
Okay, now what about the monies that we're going to need to rebuild it?
You'll have to start a capital project.
Is there any monies involved in this budget for that? Any renovation work that has to be done on that?
The Kirkwood Highway?
Yeah.
No, sir. Mice. I'll turn it over to Special Services. As far as I know,
Wayne Marin, Acting General Manager, Special Services. Are you talking about the building itself?
Yeah, we got a lot of structural problems out there. The outside paint had to be taken care of.
That would be operational if we were going to do that. We painted it once already, but that would be operational if there any paint.
Painted once.
Once.
We used water paint.
Did I call it out?
It's a long story about.
I know that the parking lot and all is different. I understand that. I'm talking about the building in itself.
Very nice. No, there is no need for any renovation of that building at this point.
At this point?
Okay. Still no.
At this point. Good answer, Mark.
Anything further from any members of council? Anything from the public? Anything from the private? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Peggy Schultz, and I'm representing the League of Women Voters. We have an interest in the farmland preservation program that you all were discussing today. It's wonderful that there's such clever people and informed people working on this project. And one of the things that is very positive is that they are planning a corridor of open space, which is something that you don't always see initiated by the state. But we have a concern about the openness of the meetings, because we'd like to have input as concerned citizens. And I'm not saying that they're not open, but we don't know about them. So I would like to ask council how they're advertised and how people get on the mailing list for the meetings. We don't know.
This council doesn't. We approved the budget. There's funds in there. The meetings, as far as what's going to be, and Councilman Powers may elaborate, what's going to be purchased, what's not going to be purchased, that's handled at a quasi state county committee or whatever. Councilman Powers, you know much better than I do, but we don't sit in this room and deliberate which ones we're going to buy.
I'd say
dial 1-800 Jack Markell.
Well,
I told one to call Obama. There's Jack's turn.
But when things are worked out on the state level, they have a very precise method of choosing the properties that are going to be preserved, and the average of assessed value of the development rights in the last round was 61%. One of the things that we will look at is what percent of the assessed value of these lands, and it just seems like council will want to know that.
If you're following the state process, the county funds dovetail with the state, with the federal. All the funds come together into that pool. So if you're following that process, you're on point with what's taking place. Well, we don't have anything separate and apart from that.
Good.
Now, the
Councilman Powers and Councilman.
The last round, she's saying the discounting was 61%.
Right.
The last round, only 2.7% of the funds. Of state funds were spent in this county. Of the total funds, it's all was spent. Now, the only time we ever have a higher amount, we have to put in more. Now, the monies for ag land preservation are from the transfer fees, and we generate 47% of the, or 50-some percent of the transfer fees. and Sussex generates almost 40%, and Kent, you know, if you look over the past 10 years, most of the money's been spent in Kent County.
Councilwoman Dillon.
Ms. Schwartz, are you asking
how
much
more to get it?
Input we had on the lands that went to, into this process?
Not really. I'm wanting to know for the future. I wouldn't mind knowing what happened in the past too, but my specific question is, what can we do going ahead in terms of having public information? I'm very keen to know that.
For the county process as well as the open space process?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
But I can deal with the state, but I just want to know what the county is doing.
Writing a check. And, well, actually, we approve it, and the administration cuts the check once we approve the capital budget. Okay, is there anything further? Councilman Powers.
There is a committee for Newcastle County. It's part of the state process. The chair is appointed by whoever the executive is at the time. There's, I think, three or four people on that, farmers. Most of that committee is if anybody wants to come into a district, the volunteer program. So those mailings are sent to land use, and that's just the properties coming into the process and the meetings that are in Dover at the Ag Department.
Okay. Anything further from the public? Can I get an amen?
Motion to adjourn.
We have a motion. Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Voting no? Not voting. Thank you all very much.